Today, any registered voter in Illinois can cast their ballot and early vote. So if you don't like those long lines on Election Day, or you just want to get a head start, you have 40 days before the general election to cast your ballot and do early voting. So let's get into those important dates that you all need to know if you're in Illinois. Early voting in Illinois lasts up to the day before the November general election. October 31st is the final day to request a ballot by mail. Then the last day you can early vote is November 4th.
So there you have a really great report by Mercedes McKay on KSDK about today being the first day that you can vote in Illinois. I've already got a few sticker pictures on X from people who have gone and cast their ballot in Illinois. And it's a pretty exciting time. We do live in a world where there is a voting season, and in Illinois, it has officially begun. And I'm really excited to have our next guest in studio with us, Jay Keevan, candidate for Illinois' 112th State House District. You can learn more about him, J4Illinois.com, J4Illinois.com. Jay, welcome back. It's good to have you here. It's an election time now. People can go vote for you today.
It is election time. And I tell you, Annie, I sure do appreciate you inviting me in. I'd like to come in and talk to your listeners.
Well, we love having you. And we know that there are a lot of people who are very interested in your race specifically. You were running against incumbent Katie Stewart in Illinois' 112th District for State House Representative. I can look at your resume as a politician, Jay. Politician is not what you've come into this race. Well, that's not where your resume is. You're a public servant, but politics is kind of a new thing for you, isn't it?
Politics is a completely new thing for me. So, you know, as you mentioned, I am a public servant, and I do understand public servant means that you serve the public, not the other way around. So from my state policing career to my career as a police chief in Edwardsville to my time in Troy now as their city administrator for a little over 3 years, that's just what I've done. I've served the people of my community and of my state. I have found that politics is quite a bit different. In public service, we all work together to try to serve the public. In politics, it seems like the other side just wants to fight with us.
Deathmatch.
Obviously, your listeners know what it's like when they were trying to kick me off the ballot way back in May.
Yeah, our show here and our station had a little bit of part in helping you get on the ballot. Katie Stewart herself supported a bill that would disallow Jay Keevan or anybody else that the Republican Party wanted to slate against her, disallow her to have an opponent. Katie Stewart didn't want to have to win the race. She wanted to take it from the people of the 112th. And you kind of put your name in there, and you said you'd run, and people rallied around you in a really big way. I heard from person after person after person when I was standing out at the hotel with you getting these signatures super early that morning that people were really just kind of sick and tired of the way Katie Stewart's been doing business in the 112th.
I think they're just sick and tired of the way that the state of Illinois has been going as a whole, but certainly in the 112th, they want representation that will represent that district and not, you know, the interests of Springfield or the interests of Chicago. And I would be remiss if I did not thank your listeners for how they came out and rallied for me on that day in May, because I'm telling you, without everybody coming in and signing those petitions and me getting my petition in, they may have had their way of kicking me off the ballot. Now, their law was later found to be unconstitutional. They passed that through in, you know, 3 days. The House,
yeah.
The House took a shell bill and tried to kick me off the ballot with that. The Senate passed it the next day. The governor signed it the following day. But because of many good people, including a lot of your listeners, I was on the ballot.
Well, we were happy to show up for you. And we got to do the same thing in this election season, because there are issues that matter to the people of Illinois. And I think that, you know, even in that little anecdotal situation about you even being able to get on the ballot, it's just there's a way that Illinois does business. And when you have a supermajority of Democrats in Springfield, and you've got J.B. Pritzker, the governor, who I will remind folks, there are no term limits for governor in the state of Illinois. So, yeah, catch your breath and come back to us. I don't know how long J.B. Pritzker is going to rule over Illinois, but the Democrat stronghold on the order of business, we need some checks and balances. And in the General Assembly, your pickup, if you were to win this seat, would do wonders for putting a check so that there's just more balance in the General Assembly. What kind of issues do voters, I know that you're knocking on thousands of doors right now to try to get your message out to the people of the 112th District of why maybe they might want an alternative in Jay Keevan. What do you hear from the people who you're talking about?
Well, the number one concern is the high cost of living. So the cost of living is skyrocketing in Illinois. As a matter of fact, just this past week, I was in Edwardsville and I was knocking on doors and I met an 80-year-old gentleman. And he was practically in tears telling me that he couldn't afford his cost of living, and now he can't afford to pay his property tax bill. He wants to stay in his home. This has been his home where he raised his family. His wife passed away. And he said, I don't know how I'm going to pay the tax bill. He's living on Social Security. Said, I've worked all my life, and this is what I have. He said, I'm looking at probably being forced to go into a nursing home and losing my home. And he just didn't want to do that. And I talked to him about some assisted living options. And my father-in-law is an assisted living in Maryville. It's a nice place. And he was very reluctant. He said, I shouldn't have to do that. I've worked hard my whole life. I've done what I'm supposed to do. And now I can't even afford the taxes on my own home when I'm paying my utility bills and I'm buying groceries. I can't afford it. So number one issue is the cost of living, which goes right along with that is the property taxes. People are just sick of their property taxes going up in Madison and St. Clair counties year after year after
year. I kind of think those are both bipartisan concerns.
You would think so. And my thought being we need to take a look at our property taxes. Two-thirds of our property tax bill in Illinois is usually for your school district, and it can go up to 70% of your tax bill is for your school district. And I don't blame the school districts. They get their funding from Springfield, so they're never fully funded. So they pass the budget, they fund the schools at a lesser level than fully funded, and then they add all of these unfunded mandates. Now, some of the mandates are good. I mean, the fact that they're doing background checks on employees of school districts to make sure that sex offenders aren't in our school districts, that's a great mandate, but they don't give them the money to do it. So the only place the school district can go when they don't get funding from Springfield is property taxes. Mm-hmm. So then you wonder why your property tax bill goes up year after year. Well, they pile these mandates on them. We should stop some of that. We should take a look. I mean, literally, the schools have hundreds of unfunded mandates. We should look at them. And do we need all the mandates that we're forcing onto these schools? So we can address the property tax bill that way.
Yeah.
In addition, like our gasoline tax, it goes up automatically every year. I mean, to me, that's the coward's way out. Let's vote on it every year. When I craft a budget in Troy, I know I can't afford to do all the road projects that I would like to do in the city of Troy every year. So we put together a priority list. These are our worst streets. These are the things that need to be done first, because I have a finite bucket of money that I'm working with. And to me, when you're looking at, hey, these are the things we want to do, so let's just raise taxes at $1.1 billion. That makes no sense whatsoever.
Especially when the cost of living is so high everywhere else. It's like we're not in a position right now where the people can afford that.
Jay, Kevin, I'm seeing, getting to meet you, but I've seen what's on your shirt in many signs, because I actually live in what, I'm not going to say would be, what will be your district, because I'm in the 112th. So this is a very, very competitive district. I see Katie Stewart signs, I see Jay Kevin signs, and I can't count to try to figure out who's going to win, but I do believe that I'm seeing more Republican Jay Kevin signs than I have in the past, which encourages me. My question for you said you're knocking on doors. Love to hear that. You probably knocked on my door when I wasn't. I'm probably here while you're there.
Sure.
But when you knock on somebody's door who says, oh, no, I think I'm going to go for Katie Stewart. The Republicans you got. But those people, what do you say to them to say, look, you've had Katie Stewart. Now, give me a try.
Well, I will tell you that question statement has come up, and not as often as you would think. Now, people are usually very polite at the door, and even if they're not going to vote for you, they won't, get off my porch type of thing. But I did talk to a teacher who said, well, I'm a teacher, and I'm going to support Katie. I said, answer me one question. What has Katie done for you as a teacher? Well, she thought for a moment, and she says, well, I really don't like the multi-stall, multi-gender bathrooms that they're going to be putting in the high school and the Lincoln Middle School. I said, okay, so that's something you don't like. What has she done for you as a teacher? By the time we got done talking, she told me, she says, I am going to vote for you because at least you'll give it a try. And I've told people that. I said, hey, I understand. The Illinois House has a super minority for Republicans. There's a super majority of Democrats, which means just recently, the House and the Senate, there's a super majority. They passed a $53 billion budget, $1.1 billion in new taxes, $1 billion for people who are not Illinois residents and are not legal U.S. citizens. $1 billion. Well, they didn't have one Republican vote on that bill. because they don't need them, because they have a supermajority. So, you know, my thought is I'm going to go. I'm going to give it my best shot. I can't sit at somebody's door and promise them that I'm going to fix everything. But what I can do is tell them I'm going to show up every day. I'm going to try my best. I'm going to work really hard for the taxpayers and for the people of the 112th District, which is what I will do. I can make that promise. And I think I can find 10 or 12 like-minded people in Springfield that are willing to work with me and push hard. And I think we can do some things. Now, can we do everything that I'd like to do? Probably not, at least not the first term. You know, you got to take some seats back. We got to get closer to balance. And I'm not even a guy that says, hey, the Republicans have to be in complete control of everything. But we need to have a voice. We need to have people that are fiscal conservatives that at least have a voice so that they can't pass a $53 billion budget without one Republican vote.
Yeah, Jay Keevan in studio with us. He's running as the Republican in the 112th District against Katie Stewart, the incumbent Democrat there. When I think about the Republicans, my friends who are in the General Assembly, we speak to the state senators, we speak to the state reps, the few that we have. I think that what I want to hear is more of a solidified approach of the basics. Because you're not in a position, you know, if you win, and we could win a few seats and we're still going to be in the supermajority or minority. It's dire in the General Assembly, but we got to start somewhere. Do you see the opportunity of going in there as a Republican who could potentially be in a superminority or just a pretty large minority? Do you see the opportunity to work across the aisle and get to know the people in the House, to learn about them, to learn how it works, to talk to them? And find areas where you can work together? Do you feel like you would go there and be combative and want to push back and make a big name for the 112th as a conservative stronghold? Like, I know that you're not a politician guy coming into this office. When you go to Springfield, how do you envision representing the 112th?
Well, I think you, and especially when you're in a super minority, but even if you aren't, I think you have to compromise. I think you have to work with people. When I'm knocking on doors, I'm telling people, you know, I'm not a hard right Republican. I'm not the person that says no to everything that a Democrat submits. And I'm hoping that I'm going to run into Democrats that are not so hard left that they're going to say no to everything that I would submit. You know, realistically, they're there for the same reason I believe that the Republicans are there. They want to do what they believe is best for the constituents within their districts. They want to do what they believe is best for the people of Illinois. And what you asked me is the very question that I asked leader Tony McCombie when they were trying to recruit me. It's like, you know, I'm not your guy that's going to sit there and fold my arms and say no to everything. I'm kind of a middle of the road. I work with people. I've dealt with compromise my entire life to try to get something good for the people that I'm working for. So if you're looking at somebody that's just going to, you know, wave the flag, that's not me. And she kind of smiled and said, that's not at all what we're looking for. We're looking for people that are willing to work with others. So she said, I want you to meet somebody. And she introduced me to Amy Ellick. And Amy is the Republican.
She's my representative in the 111th.
Yes, in the 111th. So I had coffee with Amy and I said, Amy, you know, I don't know. I'm to the point in my life, I don't want to take on a failing effort, go somewhere where I can't make a difference, where I can't make impact. And she said, if you're willing to work with others, you can get things done. And Amy said, I'm getting things done for my district. You just can't fold your arms and say no to everything that the Democrats submit forward. If you're willing to work with them, some of them, not all, but some of them will work with you and you can get things done. So that's my hope. I know hope is not a method, but that's my hope is to get to Springfield and to work with both sides of the aisle. We have to work with our Democratic colleagues to get things done, because if we don't, we're in the super minority. We're going to fold our arms and we're going to get nothing.
I appreciate that, because the 112th district is not a far... It's not a super red district. I think it is a definite leans red district, which is kind of a mystery as to how Katie Stewart, other than the millions and millions of dollars that have been pumped into it from Mike Madigan in Chicago to help her win. I don't really understand why the Democrats care about this district so much, but the Democrats, the Democrat Party and the Mike Madigan machine that has been in place for a long time and continues to move in that direction really, really likes the 112th district, and Katie Stewart has been the happy warrior for them. To put a Republican in there, I mean, you're not going to, the 112th, the people who are disgusted with Katie Stewart's representation are not going to get their ideal far-right candidate a victory in the 112th. That's just not a realistic play. And when we don't look at it through a realistic lens, that means more Katie Stewart. What are you hearing from the people you're talking about that they're upset with the representation, the efforts that Katie Stewart has been making on behalf of her constituents in the 112th?
Well, I know in Edwardsville and Glen Carmen, the folks that are sending their kids to school there, they're very upset with the school board when they took on the plan to move forward with the multi-stall, both gender, or they call it gender-neutral bathrooms, where boys and girls are using the same restroom facilities. And mm-hmm. they were very upset with that.
And this was under, I'm going to just add this, but Katie Stewart's husband was the principal at the time while this was going on.
He was the principal of the high school, yes. And I remember Katie came and spoke with city administrator groups and said, hey, this law is for businesses. It's for businesses that choose to do it. It seems odd to me that the first entity that chooses to do it is a school, not a business. And then
her husband is in charge as the administrator of.
And then the second one is the middle school, the Lincoln Middle School. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the people in Edwardsville and Glen Carbon, they're very concerned. I mean, do what you want to me, but don't mess with my children kind of attitude is what I was hearing from people at the doors. And that was in the news a lot a couple months ago when I, 3 months ago when I was really kind of starting to really hit the doors pretty hard. Mm-hmm. Now that's faded away from the news some. But the thing that keeps hitting us is the cost of living. You know, the fact that legislators are willing to vote for budgets that give them nice pay raises while everybody else is going backwards. And my opponent has voted for pay raises for herself.
Yes.
My opponent has voted to give illegal aliens benefits that we're not even offering to our own citizens. So those are the kind of things that upset people with how those votes are going. But, I understand, follow the money. The money comes out of Chicagoland area. If the money comes out of Chicagoland area, the vote kind of leans toward the Chicagoland area. I mm-hmm. get that. I'm offering people an alternative. I say it every day, and it's not a complaint. It's just a fact of life. I'm not going to raise the funds that Katie Stewart's organization raises. I'm not going to have the big unions. I'm not going to have the big groups out of Chicagoland area that are going to write me $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 checks. So I know that. My path to victory is knocking on a lot of doors, talking to a lot of people, asking good people to talk to their family and friends. I mean, again, I'm coming back to your listeners, but they helped me get across the finish line with getting my name on the ballot with signatures. Now I need them to get out and vote. I need people
and bring
to
bring people
and
to
bring
vote.
Their family and yes. bring their friends and tell people that it makes a difference. And I've heard people tell me that, well, in Illinois, it doesn't matter. Chicago's going to carry the presidential election, and we're never going to get a Republican president nomination from the state of Illinois. I don't know that that's true, but even if you do believe that there's no chance that Donald Trump carries Illinois, but there's still a lot of down ballot people that it really makes a difference. I mean, we've got good county board members that I know that are on Madison County Board, on the ballot for the board. We've got good state folks that are on the ballot. We've got judge retention on the ballot. So there's a lot of things to vote for besides just the presidential election. And that's mm-hmm. what I try to tell people when they get disheartened and say, well, Chicago makes the decision for our president. Maybe true. Again, I don't know. There's always hope. There's always an opportunity that people will say, hey, I was doing better 4 years ago than I am doing today.
Yeah.
And maybe they come out and they decide they want to vote. But for those who decide that they can't make a difference in the presidential election, I know they can make a difference, obviously, in my election. I know they can make a difference at their local county boards, and they can make a difference in their local elections.
Well, Jake Heaven, running as the Republican in the 112th district, would be a huge pickup for the Republicans in the General Assembly. Your time in law enforcement, your time working with the public, you know what it means to work with people, and I've seen that up front myself, and I've heard it from so many people who we mutually know that you are such a hard worker, and I will really be interested to see in how your race turns out, because you're running this race the correct way. You're sticking to the issues. You're talking to the people. You're listening to them. And it really is about them. And it's about time that the 112th has a representative that pays attention to what the people in the 112th want. And Jake Heaven is the candidate for those folks who are looking for actual representation and not dictation. Jake Heaven, it's such a pleasure to have you back in here. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. I appreciate the invite.
Of course. Support Jake Heaven online at J4Illinois.com. If you can go there, make a donation, show up and help him get people out to the polls. Illinois voting is open. You can go early vote now. Bring friends, bring family, encourage people to vote for change. And I believe that in the end, you will be very glad that you did. All right, let's take a quick break. More Annie Fry Show after this. You know, we ran out of time with Jake Heaven there. I cannot tell you enough how much of a normal dude Jake Heaven is. He's not a politician. He's not. He's the person you want running for office representing you because he's actually a servant to the people who he represents. It's very refreshing. He mentioned the bathroom thing, and I've heard this specifically about the Edwardsville School District, but I've heard this about other places as well. But I just know more specifically through school board meetings that have been they're public. When the whole idea of going from gendered bathrooms to this gender neutral thing, they're going to have this like big wide open space that you can. It doesn't even have doors on it. But I mean, like think. My understanding is a massive room that has a pass through where you walk in, and it's basically a bunch of individual stalled bathrooms that are closed ceiling to floor.
Okay.
So you can't like peek through the cracks in the stalls and stuff like that. It's very private. But there are questions about high school kids having individual private spaces to that extent in a high school room. And then this is what blew my mind. And I was wondering if you guys experienced this in high school at all. Because I certainly don't recall this. I went to Edwardsville High School for 1 year. Kids are saying that they won't go into the bathrooms because they're scared to go in there because of sex, drugs, and violence that can take place in these bathrooms where they'll go in there and then they'll get threatened or bullied or whatever and told to get out because there are things going on in the bathroom that the people who are doing said things don't want other people in there, so they threaten them. So there's like an understood mad dash that takes place when these kids come home from school because they're running to the bathroom because they hold it all day. Is that a common thing? Because to me, what I hear, when I hear people talking about the bathrooms, like Jake Heaven was talking about right now, when he was discussing, because my question to Jake Heaven was, when you're talking to people, what is it that they're saying? And he brought up the bathroom issue. Do you know, have any idea how many people bring up the Edwardsville bathroom issue to me all the time? And I don't send my kids to Edwardsville Public School.
Really?
It's a really big deal to people. And it is as much because they aren't providing guaranteed safety and security in these bathrooms so that their kids can go pee in the middle of the day.
Yeah, that's actually the same thing I've heard about the gender neutral thing is that, you know, it's not as if you're going to have a boy walking up to a urinal right next to a girl sitting at a toilet. You know, that's not what they're talking about. But there is going to be so much more privacy that you actually don't know what's... You can't have a teacher bust into a private stall to find out if somebody's shooting up or doing drugs or something in there. That's part of the concern, is that you are giving kids so much autonomy that if they're already doing bad things in the current bathrooms, you're actually giving them more of an ability to do that now. But to answer your question about, is that something that you ever experienced? I actually was that kid in high school. I was the kid who would not go to the bathroom.
So you relate to this?
It was for different reasons. Part of it was just because at the time, now I'm not saying there was no, it was weird to go to the bathroom in high school. And maybe I was alone in this, Brad. I mean, I don't know. I was in Collinsville. I would not go to the main bathrooms if I needed to really go, because I thought, like, people came and went out of those bathrooms who were not going to the bathroom. Like, kids were coming in and out, and they were doing other stuff.
Like what?
They were maybe starting a fight. They were saying what they couldn't say in class. Like, it wasn't necessarily they were threatening me. There was just a lot going on.
It didn't feel like a safe space for you to go in.
Yeah, I just want to go take a poop, you know? Like, just let me go to the bathroom.
What about peeing? I thought we were talking about peeing.
I was talking about pooping. Because I can get in and out, and I can go pee fast.
Did you have a problem going pee in high school? At the school?
I don't remember having a problem just running in and going pee, but I would still try as hard as I could to not go to the bathroom at school, because there was always just so much going on in the bathrooms. Or my other trick was, this is apropos of nothing, there was a bathroom near the vocational center that nobody knew about, and I would raise my hand during class because I knew, okay, that's a secret bathroom, and there's never anybody going during class. That's the only time I would go. But it was the same kind of stuff. where you know, you just didn't want to be a part of whatever the thing was that was going on in the bathroom, because it usually wasn't good.
Whenever I was in high school, I went to Freeburg, and Freeburg wasn't a very big high school, so there wasn't the main bathrooms and then those off. You don't, like, you, if you had to go, you went to those bathrooms. There were some kids that would get into some stuff. Most of the bad stuff at Freeburg, though, happened kind of like outside the art building. And I think it's a rumor, but they said the art teacher would show the kids where they could go to smoke so they wouldn't get caught and that sort of thing. Okay. But most of that stuff happened. But there were instances of fights starting in the bathroom and stuff like that. But whenever I started substitute teaching at a high school, a local high school here, there were times where I would use a restroom and I would come out and I would catch kids in the middle of, I don't know if they were swapping a vape. Sometimes they were swapping drugs. I've known some SROs. They've told me, school resource officers, they've told me some stories about how they would go in there and it's like, oh, there were two sets of feet in that stall and one of them was guys and one of them was girls and they weren't doing anything good. That sort of thing happens. And you're telling me, Annie, at Edwardsville, this bathroom, the stuff goes from the top to the bottom?
Completely enclosed.
Yeah, so there's like there's so much more than just, they're smoking cigarettes that could go on in these bathrooms. I totally understand where those students are coming from saying, you know what, I don't feel safe in here. I would rather just go home and do the mad dash.
I think it's sad.
It is.
As a student, like if I were just a student going to Edwardsville, I would actually like that better because there'd be more privacy while I took a dump. But aside from that, anybody who wants to do...
Can you just show me a little bit of respect and the listeners?
While I would defecate.
Oh. Just stick with go into the stall to go to the bathroom. I mean, we're there.
Papa.
Now. No, okay. Stop it.
All right.
I literally got a handwritten note about this.
I know.
It's a very precious lady.
I'm not trying to. This is part of the conversation.
It's very...
This is the way I talk to my friends.
Illustrative.
And if I were just going to the bathroom, mm-hmm. sitting down, mm-hmm. doing a defecate, then
I literally no respect.
I would be happier to have more privacy. The trouble is, the converse is true, that if you're doing anything other than what you should be doing in there, you also have more privacy and you're harder to catch.
Or if you're doing drugs and you OD or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, these are all things that have been discussed in this, and they're all like worst case scenarios. Most people are like, I would just like to pee. Most people are like, I just want to go in there. And you know, I was thinking to myself when they, you know, I was hearing all about the gender neutral bathrooms and stuff, and I'm not in favor of that. I would like girls to be able to go where girls are, boys to be able to go where boys are. I said what I said. However, the people who are pushing on this, I thought to myself, okay, I need to educate myself on this before I speak. So I watched the entire school board meeting that was online. It was like an hour, maybe an hour, hour and a half or something, where they showed the blueprints and the plans of option A, option B, do this or do that. And I was thinking to myself, for an adult, if we had that bathroom situation here, I could see how I wouldn't feel threatened to be in a, you know, to be in a space where there were enclosed private stalls next to other ones where men and women could be using them. But here's the rub for me. I don't want to sit to pee on a toilet that a man just peed into and peed all over the seat. If you go to gender neutral bathrooms in like Starbucks or if wherever else they happen to be, men, you do not take care of bathrooms the way women's restrooms are taken care of. And it's the downgrade in cleanliness and the absolute guarantee that there's going to be urine on the toilet when I go in there makes me not go in those bathrooms anymore. So I feel like once again, women are getting totally screwed in this whole endeavor because we have no safe place to go where we're going to go have the ability to sit down to pee and not have to sit in a man's urine. Or the woman who just hovered the last time she went in there because there was man's urine on there and now it's a mess that way too. It's a problem. I don't know what the solution is. I'm not tasked with having that solution, but I do know that every time we find solutions to the problems that we care about most, women get screwed.
Also, what problem is Edwardsville fixing by doing this? Like, what was the issue that they're like, man, we got to completely redo everything and spend however much money to redo this because we got such a problem here?
I don't remember how they positioned it, but I do know that they have a very full school. And I do think they need more accommodations.
Okay.
And I also think that part of what they were trying to do was make it more safe to use the restrooms because people didn't feel safe using them before. And they're like, a lot of people argue, and I agree with them for the most part, that I don't think this solves the problem that you're saying that you're trying to solve, at least as far as safety and security does. I mean, if you can add a toilet and it counts for a female toilet and a male toilet, I don't know. I don't know what the accommodations are. I don't feel like they achieved what they didn't sell to me that their solution was effective to the problem that they were trying to highlight.
Yeah, but if their goal was, hey, you know what, we got to add bathrooms anyway because we're just at capacity. Let's make these new bathrooms individual stalls so that we can avoid the whole cultural issue that's happening right now. Let's just stay out of it. If that's the way it was positioned, that would be one thing. This looks like they said, you know what, let's capitulate to this woke movement. And I wasn't part of the board meeting, but that's what this looks like. And if that's the direction, like if this is sliding in that direction, then you go, oh, well, that's just one step. I can deal with this one step. But then what's the next one? And then what's the next one? Is it showers next? I mean, I know we're not there. I know people are going to cry wolf and go, well, they didn't say that. I know they didn't say that. I'm saying that every step in that direction goes further and further down that line.
And I mean, I will be honest and say that I was skeptical when all of the hubbub was going on about the gender neutral bathrooms. That's an easy thing to pounce on from our side. And I wanted to be very well versed in what I was talking about before I spoke on it. And I actually thought that the solution that was proposed did give enough privacy in the toilet area for it to feel like a bunch of individual bathrooms as opposed to shared. So the privacy is still there, but to me, it just creates a host of other problems, which is like urine on the seat, which is a gender thing, but not always. So I don't know.
It's kind of a step up for the guys then, because the girls are going to take better care of the guys' room.
No, they're not. They're gonna not pee at school. They're gonna have to hold it, and you know that's we have people on their live chat right now talking about their kids coming home saying that they were holding it since the second hour, which is so sad. That's ridiculous. But anyway, that you know the bathroom issue is a huge issue on just a whole bunch of fronts. I don't think that there's an easy solution to it. What they probably need is more space, more building, and you can't always have that. But it is an issue that people care about, and it's a complex issue, too, where you can fix one thing, but then you cause three or four other problems, and you fix those problems, then you have another issue. It's not an easy case. But I do know that if you look at the different things that Katie Stewart sponsored, her legislation that she sponsored when she, as she has been a representative of the 112th, she sponsored legislation to change birth certificates to include male, female, and X. She sponsored the feminine hygiene products that are available in bathrooms, 4th through 12th grade and college. She is very aggressive about the sex education as she sees it. Now, sex education, I think, is a very good thing, but how is it going to be implemented? Who's going to be teaching? What are they going to be teaching? Who gets to determine what is age appropriate? And she's been a huge advocate for these all-gender multi-stall restrooms. And the one school where they really start to push it through, her husband is the administrator of? Oh, not anymore, though. He took a different job. Let's take a quick break. We'll wrap up the show when we come back. I am looking forward to giving you the results. I thought that this would be obvious like you guys said it was. You guys both said that Biden was the bigger liability.
Yeah.
Which candidate would be a greater liability for the Democrats? 48% to 52% right now, and I'm not going to tell you who's got what, but the people who go vote right now in the next 10 minutes could be the deciding factor. We'll be right back. So I showed the chicken foot sandwich a little bit earlier in the show. You said that if people said it tasted good, Ryan, it's a chicken foot attached to whatever, I guess the chicken leg. How that works.
It's like a tomahawk steak.
On a sesame seed bun that if people were like, It's really good, Ryan. You're really going to like it. You would eat it.
I'd have to know they weren't joking.
How would you know?
Like, they weren't going, yeah, hey, it's really good. You should try it. I could pick that tone up like that. I could pick it up and be like, you guys are joking.
Do you really think you could pick it up like that?
Maybe. I would rely on the goodwill of the people. And if they said it was good, then I'd say, all right, maybe I'll try it.
Would you eat it?
No. No.
You wouldn't taste it?
Nope. Not on purpose. I mean, if somebody gave me a piece of it and was like, here, try this, then yeah, I'd try it. But no, I'm not going to. A sandwich, like, hey, a sandwich with a bone in it. You pointed that out.
That's, I don't understand. I mean, I listen, I know that I'm like an anti-bone in meat person. But what is the bread for?
It's a good question. It does seem like you just hold it by the foot, kind of swing it around until it got in your mouth. Now, if you were on a desert island, Annie, and
I'd rather die.
The only two things that you had on the desert island were this sandwich and a gourmet sushi chef, you would do what?
Sushi.
Okay, good to know. Good to know.
I could eat sushi for purpose of life-saving measures.
It's a good thing he was on the raft.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say that.
I never go anywhere without an emergency sushi chef.
Right.
With
all the supplies.
Say emergency sushi chef.
He's got the bamboo
say
roller.
It. Say
emergency sushi chef.
That's really good.
Thank you.
You're professional.
Well, I eat a lot of it.
I don't think that's
emergency
related.
Sushi.
Yeah,
he's got it in his glove box.
Break glass in case of.
We had the hearings today again of the Secret Service. I want to tie this all in a nice little bow for everybody here on the Annie Fry Show. The Fox News reports that the United States Secret Service, which has been subject to heated scrutiny after two assassination attempts, this is a wild sentence. If you just like dove into the end of September 2024, you'd be like, what?
Yeah, if you're looking at what early June, you're like, here's a report from September.
Even if you like went into a coma in, let's say, January of 2024, Kamala Harris is running for president.
Yeah.
Donald Trump won the nomination. They've tried to kill him twice. They hit him once. And the Secret Service is like,
they want to investigate us for some reason.
The United States Secret Service, which has been the subject of heated scrutiny after two assassination attempts against former President Trump that many believe were avoidable, is now facing even more heat because it is making preparations. It's about time they got their act together and made preparations to send employees to an LGBTQ-focused event where? At Florida's Walt Disney World.
What?
The Secret Service is expected to send agents to Disney World on October 7th to 10th as part of the Out and Equal Workplace Summit that includes breakout sessions, a gala, and various events aimed at promoting LGBTQ diversity in the workplace. The website says, quote, individually and as a collective community, we can break down barriers, bringing everyone along and illuminate the way forward where workplaces and the world are rich in inclusion and belonging and innovation and opportunity are unlocked for LGBTQ plus people and for all. I would think that it is a protectee of the Secret Service, of the United States Secret Service, that the very, very last thing that I would be interested in is the sexual orientation of the person who needs to act like a BA when my life is on the line. Do not care. Gay, straight, none of it. Don't care at all. Not important whatsoever. How good are you with the job? So I look at the Secret Service right now and I'm like, how good are you with the job? I have questions. This is the Secret Service's focus right now.
It's almost as if you could fill it. You could take that same paragraph in light of everything that's happened in the last couple months, fill it in with anything, because LGBTQ doesn't even matter in that sentence. It's just that it's anything else that has nothing to do with their job. They're sending them to Disney to do breakout sessions together. That the whole paragraph is just embarrassing.
Go back to the basics of protecting people's lives.
Yes.
And that's it. It's mind-blowing. Fox News says as the Secret Service continues to face various investigations and reports into massive failures in adequately protecting Trump from two assassination attempts, along with serious concerns about the agency's staffing levels, American Principles Project President Terry Schilling told Fox News Digital the event in Florida is the last thing it should be allocating resources towards. Yeah, because you know that ain't cheap. She said, to say this is a bad look for the Secret Service might be the understatement of the decade. There have now been two near assassinations of a former president in the last 2 months. The readiness and basic competence of the agency is now rightly under scrutiny. Is this really the right time to be sending staff members to Disney World? Like, maybe after you've officially and sufficiently protected the life of the people, then you go, I'm going to Disney World. But you're not there. This isn't the day.
Maybe. If you've had a sentence that just says, the Secret Service is going to be focusing on, and then fill in the blank, the only thing that should ever be in that blank is protecting the president.
She went on to say, a person's sexual preferences should have zero bearing on their ability to protect our nation's leader. Duh. So why is the Secret Service spending so much time and resources obsessing over LGBTQ plus issues? This is a serious scandal that the agency needs to address immediately. Like, if you want to actually get to the place where we treat people equally, let's stop obsessing about our differences. Let's stop prioritizing them over everything else. Because, listen, you're not a better person because you're straight. You're not a better person because you're not straight. You are a human being. You're worthy of dignity. You're worthy of respect. And if you want to do something that lowers your dignity or is less deserving of respect, that's an action you're going to have to take. But every time we slice and dice people into divisions, then we get an opportunity to stop and look at the people on the other side. Maybe we should stop othering people. And also do our jobs, the basic premise of our jobs. And for the Secret Service, you got a little work to do. You got a little focus and allocation of resources, a really good, really good point too. 276 votes. Which candidate would be a greater liability for the Democrats? 53% of the people said Kamala Harris.
Wow. Okay.
That's amazing to me. It's split. I don't like either of them. My goodness. Mark Rubin Show coming up next. Don't go away.